All right. Well, I'm looking forward to this message. I hope and pray it is a blessing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we are looking unto Jesus and looking unto our Lord, looking unto the God of heaven, looking to our Heavenly Father this morning and tonight, I pray that you would be pleased with our desire for you as we rejoice in the changes you make in us. This indeed is a time that is so key in your plans. Lord, may we be found faithful ourselves. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. Before I get you into a couple of the passages, and we've got quite a bit of scripture that we're going to be going to, this, like I said, the title of this passage is focused on faith. This is actually an introduction. It'll stand by itself, but it's an introduction to the message next Sunday and on. This last week, there was a self-proclaimed progressive church back east in the state of Tennessee. They posted a Facebook message, and they declared that, quote, the Bible isn't the Word of God, inherent, inerrant, or infallible, unquote. The statement from the group, I hesitate to call them a church, also said, quote, as progressive Christians, we're open to the tensions and inconsistencies in the Bible. We know that it can't live up to the impossible modern standards. We strive to more clearly articulate what Scripture is and isn't. The post also said this, the Bible is not, quote, self-interpreting, a science book, an answer slash rule book, unquote. Now, friend, that is the wicked one's MO. It goes all the way back to Genesis 3, when Satan himself said, yea, hath God said. Ever since then, people have been listening and or looking to what God has said, and somebody who is filled with unbelief right out of the pit of hell says, well, did God really say that? Yes, he did. And oh, by the way, the Bible does interpret itself. And I'm sorry, mister, I'm not going to call you a pastor, but there is a scripture that the Lord used in a parable. In hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. I don't say that gleefully. This man is not only sending himself straight to the place for the wicked one in eternity, but he is sending other people that direction too, and that makes me angry. And that's why, indeed, we need to know the gospel. By the way, Brother Mike mentioned this about, you know, gathering together. I remember frequently in the church that I grew up in, we would have a two-hour time period where we would go over again how to lead a soul to Christ. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But you know, when it comes to things like this man said, I've got two quotes from Spurgeon. I think I've used them possibly both. They are both worth saying again. Spurgeon said this, when it comes to this kind of an attitude, he said, I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not believe it at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than dry land faith and is not good for much. For that, we need to be clear. The need for clarity in our Christian walk has been heightened because of the days that we are living in. We might think that we're doing okay, but the fact of the matter is there are people that are struggling. There are people that are desiring a firmer foundation. It's not that they're awash in unbelief, but they might be struggling, or they just might be in a situation where, you know, it's been kind of tough. This last week, I don't know what got me to do this, but this last week I posed a question to Christians, to believers, on Facebook. I said, you know, this is up to people that are 50-ish, but basically I was looking at people that are 20s, 30s, and 40s that are true believers, okay, true believers. And I asked them this, what do you desire most from believers 60 and older? I said, don't be silly, be real. Boy, I couldn't believe the stuff I got. And I praise God for it. Listen to this. Understanding and acceptance that not every believer that has standards different than you is an apostate, backslidden Christian. Stories of the victories that God has brought you through and vulnerability / openness / genuineness in stating where failures happened and how repentance and reconciliation brought more victory and growth than trying to hide the failures. I mean, involved in this are several pastors as well. I had people comment, this is good stuff. Experience and wisdom from their past if they're willing to share. Transparency and willingness to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. Another person wrote, I need to hear real stories of how you struggled, but God brought you through. The older generation doesn't seem to want to admit that they have been through sinful patterns, struggles, etc. And instead, during prayer request time, share things like, praise God, I don't have enemies. Praise God for another day. Well, praise God for another day. Praise God, I got plenty of enemies. And praise God, He's real. They went on to say, and absolutely, that is wonderful, and we'd rejoice in everything, but also, let's be real. Someone else put this. A focus on the weightier matters of the faith. Balance between faith and love and truth and grace. This is overwhelming me. This is awesome. This is great. A focus on the ability to see past the externals to keep the door of ministry open to the younger generation. Prayer. Share your wisdom and experience. Stay the course. Consistency. Keep being what you've been. Growth. Keep growing and striving in faith. Friendship. They're asking, what about this stuff? We need someone to come alongside us, pray for our families, be real and transparent, and just be there. An example. There are so few examples of committed, faithful, God-centered living these days. And discipleship. Relational, loving, unashamed, and unapologetic investment into the thirsty young Christians that God brings into your life. That'll preach. I mean, I'm fighting tears right now. We've got people, you know, we talk about being older Christians, some of us. Let me tell you something. we were never more needed than we are right now. Never more. And then lastly, I longed to see those examples in mature believers from the time I was born again. You know, I remember growing up, I loved hearing the older people in the church that I grew up in. I'm telling you, there was something about them that was such a joy. So I did a short video, and I'm going to be doing some explanation. I'm going to be doing a little bit of answering this next week. But you know, we've got to understand something. We do have Christians, genuine Christians, great young people that love God. They're up to here in tattoos. They don't wear ties. But they got a passion for God. They desire to know more. By the way, I do too. For me. Because at 67 years of age, I ain't gotten there yet. Neither have you. Amen? So you know, what do we tell them? And what do we tell them from our experience? Hence, focused on faith. Focused on faith. When we first came to this church, I published a paper of sorts. It was entitled, Focus on Faith, and I had a lot of stuff in there. It got to be a lot of work. I tell you though, it was great. There I was in my office with my Macintosh computer, a 9-inch monochrome screen using PageMaker. I'd put the thing together, I'd get it. And then, you know, it's 8 megahertz. It's a screamer. I've got an internal floppy drive and an external floppy drive. No hard drive. Finally got one of those. Paid $400 for it. Had 40 meg. So, you know, I got it. I finally put it all together in there. I hit the print button, and 3 days later it came out. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it took for, but it was laser. It was laser. I'll never forget. I was sweating bullets. I don't think I'd even been here a year yet. And I got up to the church and I said, listen, I want to put out this paper. Would it be okay if we got a laser writer plus $750? The church voted for it. I wanted to cry. I wanted to come to the end. Yeah, I was going to get right with God just for the fun of it. Yeah, I mean, just that was great. I put that out for about a year. And then I realized that's a whole lot of work. But I was mailing it out and going everywhere. But focus on faith. You know, we've got a great God. And that's what these people that were saying all this stuff, that's what they want to know. You know, when we wake up in the morning, our hearts ought to be open in worship. Sometimes it's harder to focus than others. But you know, like the song says, when morning gilds the skies, my heart awakening cries, let Jesus Christ be praised. Exodus 15:11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Revelation 4:11. This time is coming. Thou art worthy, O Lord, we're going to say to him, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, right now, and were, back then, created. We are here because the God of the universe said, like that old black preacher one day, I'm lonely. I think I'm going to make me a world. And he did, and the Lord said, that's good. That's good. You realize God created us, and he said, that's good. And then he died for us, and he said, that's good. And he came down and he told us, I'm making a place for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. And the Father said, that's good. I love it. That's one of the things that I so loved when we were in Capernaum. And I was looking around at those foundations, and we were told that when somebody got married, they just made an extra wall. You know what Christ is doing up there? He's making more walls. We got more places, more people coming. I love that. Psalm 66:4. All the earth shall worship thee, David said, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. That's why we sing the songs that Brother Whiteside brings up. People have been stirred by God. They have written these things. I've got examples this morning. What a joy it is. But it ought to do this. It ought to come to us trusting Him. Psalm 18, as for God, you know what? His way is perfect. That's the testimony of a man who was learning God. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. In other words, it's worth trusting God. It's worth it. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Even in the year 2021, when the world is in some deep, serious trouble, God's people know what is coming. And they know what it is all about. And like we've said so many times already, and it's not original with me, the world is not falling apart. It's falling into place. My Bible, your Bible, is coming true. I was trying to tell somebody that this last week. The Bible told about these times. You need Christ. Listen, when we sing, we ought to sing in worship and trust as we glory in His presence. O worship the King, all glorious above, O gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. O tell of His might and sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, His chariots of wrath, the deep thunderclouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side, the man of God's unchoosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus. It is He. Lord Sabaoth His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. Back when I was in seventh grade, I had a teacher, Miss Butterfield. What a lady. It was my first year in Christian school. I loved it. I know I think I've mentioned this before, but there were two things that she had us memorize. Now, she had a lot more that we had to learn. But one of the things that she had us memorize was Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I don't have it quite memorized anymore. For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. And then she had us memorize, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus has fled? Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. went through the deep waters. I call thee to go. The rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy trials to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Went through fiery trials, thy pathway shall lie. My grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. When you think about people that have been stirred by God, God has worked in them. They have meditated on Him. He has spoken to them. You think of David. I'm going to be going, Lord willing. We're going to be having summer school with the Psalms this summer. One of the passages I hope to go to is Psalm 63. Listen to David. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Why? To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Listen. What we just heard from the Bible and from the hymn book speaks of an awesome, almighty, all-powerful, wonderful God that we can have faith in. We can trust, and we ought to, and we need to, for testimony's sake, for our own lives, and praise God for the glory of God while we are here. But would you please go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because the same God that moved David to write the Psalms, that moved Solomon to write the Proverbs, also moved the disciples to write the Gospels, and then moved Paul to write so many epistles, that same God moved Paul to write this, 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days, what's the next word? Perilous times shall come. You know what I think is funny? Sometimes I think we struggle to get beyond that phrase. I mean, remember Peter? You know, Jesus says, stay there in Timothy. But Peter, in Matthew 26, verse 31, Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. He's quoting the Old Testament. He's telling them this is what's going to happen. But then he said in verse 32, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. I'll go before you after I am risen. Words mean things. He didn't hear what Jesus said. He never got beyond the shepherd will be smitten. Sometimes in 2 Peter 3, we don't get past perilous. Let's continue it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then listen to this. I don't think this verse has spoken to me as much as it does in the days that we are living in right now. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, just like that whatever he is in Tennessee who's denying the Word of God. What does Paul tell us to do by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? From such, turn away. I heard of another pastor, a man who said he was an independent Baptist pastor. He has now converted to Mormonism. He said, hey folks, the hand that wrote the one wrote the other. I can't believe how foolish that is. That man is so blind, he hasn't even begun to do the history, to do the inspection of where all that came from. But we've got people across the land and around the world, quite honestly, that are just like that. But this is why I bring this up. Perilous times, hard times, grievous times, yes. But our God is never changing. Our God is always with us. And even though there's the difficult times here, we need to remember this. This is what we do. Those that are trying to put doubt in us about our God, from such turn away. We need to remember He is here. We don't like times, though. I understand. We don't like times like what we just talked about, perilous times. We wanted to be in the glory. We wanted to be in heaven before the perilous times. You know, this last week, a man died, and there are a lot of people that are grieving. Some because they just miss him. Rush Limbaugh went into eternity. And by the way, you know, I heard what he said about his walk with, about his relationship with Christ. I pray that he truly trusted Christ as Savior. His brother is a dynamite Christian, David Limbaugh, and I am sure they had long conversation. And I think there is every possibility that he came to Christ. Praise God for that. It was really something to see how those on the left went so incredibly viciously after him. Folks, there are people out there that hate God's people, but the Lord said it would be like that. But here's the point. There are conservatives, and I believe even Christians, that are going, well, what do we do now? You know, we needed this guy. We don't have a particular president in the White House now. We've got people there that hate us, and now Rush is gone, and who's going to take up the slack? Our God is on the throne. Go to Luke 18, would you please? Luke 18. Verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. In other words, here's the reason. You got that? He spake a parable unto them to this end, for this reason, for this purpose, that men ought always to, what? Pray and not to faint. Not to give in to evil, not to lose heart. Remember those that I was reading at the beginning that responded? Some of them, they're looking and they're going, is he worth it to follow? Is our God that important to you? Has he let you down? What happened when you had the tough times? What happened when you were struggling? Did God meet the need? The answer is,
amen.
And so the Lord gives a parable to this end. Look at verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now remember, there was a particular reason, there was a focus to this end. This is why he's telling the story. So he's saying, now, in light of what I said, listen to what the unjust judge said. Okay? Verse 6. Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Now, what was it that Christ said in verse 1? Hey, to this end, that men ought always to, and not give in to failure, not faint, not to give in to hopelessness, not to lose heart. He said, verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, but listen to this question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now the answer is yes. Now we're going to be looking at this passage later on in this series. The answer is yes. Faith will be on the earth. There will be people, believers, who have not bowed the knee. They're going to be praying. They're not going to give in. They're not going to lose hope. But the question is this, and this ought to arise in us. Will this type of faith, the faith that keeps coming back to the Lord, to the Father, even while other things are crumbling around us, will that kind of faith be found in me? Is there going to come a time when I walk away or I get discouraged? It's hard at times to hear former students struggling. People that we've known long ago that are having difficulty. It's hard. You just don't want to shovel money to them and say, okay, you know, that'll take care of it. Number one, you can't do that. Number two, at least I can't, but number two, oh, to have God's people recognizing that he meets needs. He's worthy of our prayers because we know his character. Listen, in these last days, and they are the last days, folks, in these last days, the greatest focus of our faith should be the action of our faith and the object of our faith. Now, wait a minute. By action, I mean this, a response of our faith that does not linger over disappointments, distractions, or discouragements on earth, but keeps a steady eye, and that's what the Lord wanted here, keeps a steady eye on the throne of grace. The object, of course, is he who sits on that throne. But we need to maintain, yea, strengthen, glory in, and encourage others to the focus on faith. Now, remember, faith is only as good as its object. It's not having faith in faith. Remember buying a car and sometimes you wondered, you know, the first Honda we bought for our daughter Heather, we found it down in nice neighborhood, nice people, gave them $1,000, Honda Accord. In 1 month, the engine seized up. There went $1,000. So we had to buy another one. You know, sometimes in buying a car, you are exercising a great deal of faith. We don't put the faith in the faith. We look at that and we go, okay, is this worthy of me putting this money into it? When it comes to our Lord, is he worthy of our trust? My Bible tells me yes. Psalm 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. The glory of true faith, again, is in its object, who is faithful and true, as we read in Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Jim Berg, we were in Bible college together with him, and he went on to write excellent material. He has done such a good job with people and helping them. He wrote the book Changed Into His Image and Created for His Glory, and he's done other. But he has helped people who have struggled with thought life and so forth. And he posed this. He says, you know, there are people that struggle with unbelieving thoughts. God is not enough for me to feel safe. God himself is not enough for me to feel safe. I need something more. He talked about people who had discontented thoughts. If only I had, or I knew, or I could avoid, or I could get. I should be, or I should have, at this time of my life, thus and so. I don't like this. There's not only discontented thoughts, but anxious thoughts. What if thoughts? What if looks ahead, if only looks behind. Worriers, he said, meditate on uncertainties, the possibilities, rather than on the certainties of who God is and what he has promised his children. He wrote something that was so simple but so profound and biblical in an approach to addressing our vulnerability. We should start out a day in worship looking to our God and recognizing this. I am safe in God's care. I don't need anything more to do God's will today. Why? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Number three, I can therefore put all my effort into worshiping God, serving God and others today. Can we allow God, the Spirit of our God, to grow us in this? Is our God faithful? 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He called us to it. 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And you know what I found? Christ is the way to escape. 1 Thessalonians 5, faithful is he that calleth you, that brought us into him, who also will do it. He told Timothy, if we believe not, listen to this, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. We blow it, he doesn't. Why? He cannot deny himself. That phrase, deny himself, means to act unlike oneself. The character of God never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 10, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promised. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God, that suffer, you know, like 2020, like who knows what 2021 is holding for us. Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their bank account? No. Of their property? Uh-uh. Of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Oh, and oh, by the way, just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then again, Revelation 19:11, as He comes, we will see Him as the one who is faithful and true. This second quote in closing that I have from Spurgeon, he made this statement, I love it. He said, have large expectations of God. Have large expectations of God. And offer large prayers to Him. Then shall great things be your joyful portion. Who would not ask largely if he believed that his request would be granted? In the matter of prayer to God, if we be stinted, it is by ourselves. For God has not straitened us in His promise. Come then, let those of us who are believers plead for the salvation of the whole family, the servants and the neighbors. Let our prayer during this day be on a great scale. Men sin hugely. Let us pray abundantly. I have had to remind myself so many times for that, because it's not God that shortens His arm in prayer. I do. You know, an invitation has always been about a decision. It's about a choice. You know, I haven't been much to be one that have invited people to the front. But can we all admit that there is indeed an invitation from God through this message? And it's something like this. Do you trust me? How much will you grow in that trust? Will you be a testimony of my grace? Will you be a testimony of my character, of the salvation that I have freely given to all? Will we do that? The title of the message this morning has been focused on faith. Lord willing, next Sunday we will be taking this to the fruit of faith. I'm looking forward to that big time. But before we get there, we have to make a decision. Will there be this kind of faith on the earth? So let's go to prayer.